in terms of faith, if in ministering with people around the world in all these different cultures, different personalities, obviously, which wouldn't matter which culture you're in, but different worldviews. You look at the undeveloped world and their view of him is solid. They just trust. And I believe part of that, I mean, we all know part of that. The normal explanation that people will give is, well, they don't have anything else to rely on. And that's true. And that makes it a lot easier. If you don't have thousands of choices, you know, you can do natural therapy, you can do psychology, you can do medicine, you can, you know, if you don't have all those other choices, God's it. So on one level, that's absolutely true. But I look at the developing world and they are so rich spiritually, the Christians in that world, that I find the Western world is really impoverished, and it's not a criticism in a sense of condemning at all. It's the reality we've been born into, okay? And we have a lot of sense of self-reliance, and that is probably the biggest issue. It's not even external reliance that, you know, there's a hospital or there's natural therapy or there's psychology. Yes, we use those, but those all represent self-reliance. So in the developing world, they are God-reliant. They are not self-reliant. That is not how they look at their relationship with God. And I think this word, and this is, he keeps stressing this word, Holy Spirit, to me today, reliance and reliability. He wants us to get that he is reliable and that we can have reliable faith in him because of his reliability, not because we're so good at having faith. It's not about that. And I think whatever it is that he took away from you, that false believing, you know, believing the fairy tale because it sounds so good and I really want to believe, but it's not real for me. Instead, he's going to give you, it is a fairy tale. I mean, if you look at what the Bible says that Jesus Christ did on that cross, I mean, that is unbelievable. But with Holy Spirit, yeah. It is. It's unbelievable. What do you mean you took all my sins forever and ever? Amen. What? But I still act like an idiot. You know, I mean, who believes that? You know, or what do you mean that all my diseases are already covered and I don't have to go through this? What? And yet when we do it, and I know Gwen had an experience of it this week and it was amazing. And Gwen, if you don't mind, I'm going to paraphrase it, if that's okay. And she had this infection, okay? And then she all of a sudden got these horrible chills where her teeth were literally chattering and she couldn't stop it. And she was on the couch, okay? And there might have been a slight panic. I don't know. You know, your first instinct is, oh my goodness, I'm really sick. But she went immediately to him, okay? And she asked for his help. She didn't go, in Jesus' name, I command, blah, 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 blah. She didn't do that. She said, oh, Holy Spirit. Actually, Gwen, because I don't remember the exact bits and pieces, can you take it from there? What did you say to God?
I said something like, Holy Spirit, please bring the healing power of Jesus' stripes to me. By his stripes, I was healed. Bring that healing power to me.
Okay.
And I just started meditating on the whipping post, and instantly the chills were gone.
Yeah.
The chatter.
Yeah. Yeah. And she looked at the whipping post, you know, the reality. See, that is the goodness. That's the fair, we call fairy tale. That's the reality. See, it isn't a fairy tale. We've got the wrong perspective. It is not a fairy tale. He actually was beaten to unrecognizable humanity. You couldn't even tell he was a person anymore. That did happen. When we connect with that reality, we can have it. That's how it works. And the tendency is to blame God because it didn't happen yet. And to blame ourselves and go, oh, why didn't I have enough faith? But she didn't run around trying to drum up faith. And she didn't do her authority dance. Command, command, command. She just said, Holy Spirit. And did you hear her voice? I mean, I just listened to her voice. So tender. I mean, if I was Holy Spirit, I would be zooming in there. Because the way she said, Holy Spirit. You know, it was just like a little kid. It's like, what, are you going to turn down a three-year-old? Come on. That's what it sounds like to him. It's like, oh, that's my three-year-old. I've got to go. That's how he looks at us. But when we're striving, to either believe or striving to destroy this thing or striving against the devil and everything. We're too busy relying on ourselves to let Holy Spirit in. And then we get mad at him and go, well, see, he doesn't really care. He doesn't really love me. Or maybe this really isn't true. That's what happens to us because we're self-reliant. And we have to break that, especially in the Western world, because we are trained to be self-reliant. In fact, if you aren't self-reliant, you're a loser in the Western world. Come on, capitalism. You know, what happens to capitalism if you're not self-reliant? You know, it's not going to exist. That's how it works. Our whole economy. And even though in Australia we're called a socialistic democracy, I think that's the name of it anyway, because we have more, that's why our taxes are so flipping high, really high tax rate here, like 38% on an average salary. It's just crazy. But which pays for all these other services, or allegedly so. Okay, so they have a socialistic base here, but it's still a democracy. Obviously, they have parliament and you vote and all of that. But nonetheless, self-reliance in the Australian psyche is probably worse than the American, because here you're self-reliant, you and the land. You know, you're going to conquer it. You're going to make something here. You're going to, you know, overcome nature. It's this whole very wilderness. You know, it's still in their psyche. I mean, you know, they've got cities. It's very urban. It's very modern. But there's still this mentality. I think you would agree, Marie. Me being an outsider, even though I've lived here almost 20 years, I can see it. I can look at it as an outsider. They do. I'll talk to Australians, and they're just so independent. I mean, they thrive on their independence. They brag about it. It's something that they have pride in. And if we have pride in our independence, well, being dependent, because that's what being reliant is, isn't it? You're dependent on somebody else if you're going to rely on them. Being dependent on God is, to them, would be like heretical. It's blasphemy to their ideas. So this is what we're dealing with in the Western world. Self-reliance is king. In the developing world, they ain't got much. So being self-reliant on what? It's not going to really work. So they're so open to being reliant on God because they haven't had something else to rely on. Okay? Which makes them a lot freer. And we can ask Holy Spirit for that, though. See, we're not stuck. Oh, I was born in a Western country. Now I'm stuck with this self-reliant. No. Holy Spirit, strip me of self-reliance. I hate it. Get rid of it. In Jesus' name. That's it. You're done now. You know, let him do it. That's the end of the story. You don't have to work at it and study the scriptures unless he tells you, oh, I want you to look at this scripture and it's going to show you about self-reliance. You know, go back to the garden or whatever he wants to tell you. Fine. If he does it that way. What I have found, like when I asked him to take over my heart, let him, and he made it specific and he said to me, focus on the let me, because it's up to you to let me. That's how much God honors not just our will, because we talk about the will as if it's this amazing thing that he gave us. No, he wants us to cooperate with his very being. That's what he's asking for. And when he did that for me in you know, 10 seconds, and for Gwen in 5 seconds, whatever it was, when that happened, that was supernatural. I could not make myself think that way about that person. She could not make her teeth stop chattering and the infection go. We couldn't do it. We let it, it's supernatural. See, this is what faith is. And Marie, I want to specifically say to you, because he just loves you to bits, you know, that's what faith is. It's supernatural. It's nothing you can make happen. And what he's taken away is your false belief. Trying to believe in the goodness of God. Trying to believe it's really true what happens in the Bible. He's taken that away. You ain't got that as a foundation anymore. Now what you're going to have is him. The truth. The way, the life, and the truth. That's what you're going to have. That is going to be so solid, girl. It's not going to matter what happens. Storms around you, storms behind you, storms underneath you, storms on top of your head. It won't matter. That's what he wants to give you, that you will know that you know that you know that you know he's reliable. You just know it, and you don't care what's going on around you. He shifted that from me. That's gone from me. My wondering if he's really for me, that is totally gone. I don't even question it. Okay, we have circumstances come up. The car's broken down. We don't have a truck. You know, money, this, that, and the other. Sometimes get sick. Whatever. Whatever the circumstances are that happens in a person's life, or that, you know, or a long-term sickness or whatever, what people are dealing with. I'm not saying he doesn't dismiss it and go, oh, I don't care. But he says, look at me. I'm reliable. I mean, he doesn't say, now just believe I'm reliable, and crosses his arm. Now you should be a good child of God and just believe. No. He doesn't. He gave you Holy Spirit to help you to believe. Remember, Holy Spirit is the print of the nails in us. He's the evidence that it really is as good as the Bible says it is. Isn't that amazing? That's who lives. That's who lives in us. The witness of the print, nail prints. He lives in us. Because who rose him from the dead? Jesus wasn't even self-reliant. Did Jesus raise himself from the dead? No. Holy Spirit did. That's who lives in us.
Wow.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah. That's amazing. Hallelujah.
I mean, when we get that, oh my goodness, can we rely on him or what?
Wow. If he can do that, he can do anything.
Yeah, and it's not even just, it's that, Lizzie, but it's even greater. He really wants to stress this, I am the nail print. My evidence is those nail prints in the hands. And now I live in you. Rely on me. He's asking you, Marie, and this is for all of us, but I'm just going to specify for you because I know he's taking you through this process. He wants you to say to him, No, it's not that way. I'm sorry. It's just like the same thing that he said to me. Let me take over your heart. Allow yourself to rely on him. Allow yourself to rely on him. Let him be reliable. That's what he wants you to say. Okay, Holy Spirit, I let you be reliable in my life in Jesus' name. That's it. That's simple. And then he takes over. He'll even take over in how you see him. He'll take over in your faith. He'll take over in your circumstances. Everywhere. Everywhere. And because you're waiting for a manifestation of you know, a healing in that situation that you have, that does not counter his reliability. And that's where we go. We look to what's happening around us and we determine whether he's reliable or not. It's like the loaves and fishes. This is the example he wants to give. Okay, for a while, I've been practicing it because I had no faith for finances. And I know that doesn't sound like an important thing, but it can be important when you don't have food. Okay, so, and our business is up and down and you don't always know what's coming and what isn't coming. I started putting my hands on the refrigerator and the freezer and the cupboards. But you know how I did, you know why I did it? It's because I asked Holy Spirit. I said, Holy Spirit, I don't have any faith for finances. Teach me. He didn't go, oh, you horrible child. You're doubting God and his provision. No, he didn't do that. He went, oh, okay, I want you to do this. I want you to put your hands in the refrigerator and the freezer. And I want you to put your hands in the cupboard. And I want you to think of the widow who had the oil, the jar of oil. And I want you to think of the 12 baskets, that there was more than enough. And that's the kind of God that lives in you, called me, Holy Spirit. It's all right. He told me what to do. So what I did is I did exactly that. I laid my hand, literally laid my hands on the freezer and the fridge and the cupboards. And I said, thank you, Father, for your provision. I ask that you multiply this provision. In Jesus' name, I release that multiplication right now on earth in this fridge and freezer and cupboards in Jesus' name. And that was it. Okay. Now within probably the first week, I didn't see much of anything. Second week, I didn't see much of anything. But every time we went to get groceries, I did the same thing. And by the third week, all of a sudden, our groceries were lasting longer. And I was like, oh, is this how it works? Oh, wow. Okay. Now, we didn't buy anything different. There wasn't more that I bought, or there wasn't, you know, less that I bought. It was the same kind of stuff, same, just about every week we're basically buying the same. You know, it might be one thing here or there. And I looked at it and I said, oh, this is what supernatural provision is. Okay? I didn't get more money necessarily. It's just, it extended, just like the widow and her and the oil that kept pouring forth. Yeah? The more, every time she had a container. Now, he showed me something later. I noticed it happened. And then we had a bit of an argument about finances or whatever, my husband and I. Okay, and my level of faith in that kind of dwindled down, and I was struggling with it again. And then I wanted to make it happen. So I started using less, okay, and which isn't going to do it because that's not what he was talking about. He was talking, rely on me. So I started using less, and he said to me immediately, he said, Jesse, are you relying on me? I thought, no, I'm trying to do it myself. I want to use less cheese on the pizza. You know, I mean, really, it was literally that. and he was going, that's not it. That's not going to get it. You're going to interfere with what I want to do. So I went, okay, I'm just going to use the same amount. And we still had leftover cheese that week. And I went, okay, this is how you do it. Yeah, this is how you do it. And it's a simple example, and it may sound silly, but it built my faith to then pray for finances in the area of the ministry, of what was coming into the ministry, and ask for multiplication there and release it. And then into our bank accounts. And it's a simple way to do it. And it's because he told me personally. I didn't read it in a book, and he didn't, you know, the 7 easy steps to financial freedom as for Christians. I didn't do that. I said, and that's where we go directly, Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, what's going to work for me? You know, I don't get this. It doesn't have a meaning for me. I've never liked money. You know, all this stuff that I had a lot of problems with money. So I just didn't, I wanted it just to disappear. I wanted to have what we needed, be able to give to others, but I didn't want to have to think about it. And that's what he's done. I'm not thinking about it. I pray my prayer. I let him do it. That's the end of it. You know, I don't have to run around figuring out, do I need a multi-level marketing business or something? I hate dealing with money. It's not something I like. It's not my heart at all. So he's given me a way to deal with it, totally relying on him. And he'll do the same with illness. See, we look to other people and we listen to what their teachings or what they say or whatever, or other people's experiences. And we go, oh, that's how you do it. No, that isn't how you do it. For them, that's how they did it, between them and him. But how you do it is going to be different, because you are a completely different person in his heart. And he made you specific and individual. So if you're having problems in a healing area, you ask him, you say, Holy Spirit, I can't believe this. I'm having too much, it's too hard, it's been too long, it's too difficult. Teach me how to believe this. Teach me how to have faith for this. And he will. It really is that simple. And he'll show you in a way that he may not, he probably won't show anybody else. It may have some similarities, but we've got to rely on the fact that he's a reliable God. And if we can't rely, if that's our first step, if our first step is that we can't even rely on him, then we ask him to teach us how to rely on him. That's what he does. Because he teaches you concerning all things. It doesn't say, I'll teach you about everything except me. I'll teach you about everything except faith. I'll teach you about everything except relying on me. I'll teach you about, it doesn't say that. It says he teaches you concerning all things. It doesn't matter what we feel.
Even things that aren't spiritual?
Pardon?
Even things that aren't spiritual,
yeah.
You want to know about anything.
Absolutely. I mean, my husband comes up with designs because we want to do some things in Africa, and he just came up with this new design last night for a windmill generating electricity for these places, you know, these really remote villages and stuff, and how to do it. And that's God. He's the author of witty inventions.
Yeah.
He doesn't go, oh, it wasn't a spiritual question. You can't ask me that. You know, he doesn't do that. You know, I mean, that, you know, that's not him. He goes, oh, you want to know how to do math? Because my son and I, we have, you know, we homeschool, and sometimes there's struggles because of certain issues. And I tell you, I get frustrated and stuff. And so does he. And we cry and, you know, all kinds of things happen. And I go to Holy Spirit. And this week he showed me another way to do it. And it was totally successful. Would I have thought of that? No, I would have thought that was too hard for my son. But Holy Spirit showed me. I didn't even know I was going to do it. I just started doing it. And I'm like, oh, this is different. And my son got all of them right. You know, like I'm going to brag online for this. From the twos to the fives, times tables. And for him, there's memory and dyslexia and stuff. Okay. So that's a big thing. He remembered all of them, all out of order. The entire twos to fives. All out of order. So I could go to a five times something, a three times something, a two times something, all different times. He got them all right. I've never done it that way. I always thought, he needed this other method, and we had to be really careful and never get anything out of order and da-da-da. No, it didn't work for him. But Holy Spirit knew that's how he worked. It was just, it blew me away. And I'm like, so very practical things, the smallest things. The hairs on our head, that's what that means. Every tiny detail of our lives. And what's good about that is that we don't get stuck in that and go, oh, he just loves me, he loves me. Okay, great, let's know that. But then we can share with other people that he loves every tiny detail about them too. And he wants to help them. And they matter as well. That's where this goes to. We don't stick with it. We're not going to sit with, oh, my goodness, he loves me, he loves me. Okay, we need to get that. Because if you don't know that he loves you, how are you going to love your neighbor? Yeah, it's going to be pretty hard because you're going to be doing the white knuckling. Oh, I should be nice to them. I hate that name. Oh, but God made them in his image. Oh, but I hate them. You know, that's what you're going to be dealing with. That's not what we want. So that's where you go. I let you, Holy Spirit, take over my heart. I let you, Holy Spirit, take over this healing. I let you, Holy Spirit, take over my finances. I let you, Holy Spirit, teach me faith. I let you, Holy Spirit, take over my self-reliance. So I rely on you. How easy is that? In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, you want a cup of tea, honey? That's it. You know, we're not stressing over it. It's not a big deal. The only big deal is just get it out of our mouths. Confess with your mouth. That's what it said. Confess with your mouth, Jesus Christ. Believe in your heart that God rose him from the dead. Now, if I can't get to that, say I can confess with my mouth, but I can't believe in my heart, well, guess who's going to help me? He is. How does anybody come to faith? It's by grace. You know, it's by grace. You know, I don't make it up. I didn't make it happen. I know when I first came to Christ, you know, there was like no way I understood what I was confessing. I kind of went, okay, well, this looks it. Well, I can see this Jesus over there, the other side of the room. And because this woman was evangelizing me, I didn't even know what that word was, you know. And I said, okay. Yeah. All right. Let's pray. You know, I mean, it was like that. I mean, I'd fought for it. You know, I'd gotten sick and all this weird stuff happened just before I came to Christ. But the day that I actually said yes, it wasn't like I suddenly had this epiphany and everything. I got that afterwards. I fell in love with him after I said yes. Like a marriage, you know?
Yeah.
When you say yes at the altar to your husband. When do you really fall in love with him? Okay, you might have that excited honeymoon thing happening, you know, before you get married. But after you get married, the real love happens later. Because that's when you really draw close. And he showed me later what he did. And you know what, Marie, I just want to say this one to you because it just blew my socks off, really. When I first said yes to Jesus, okay, and didn't really know what I was saying yes to, I did feel drawn. It was grace that drew me. You know, it wasn't because I was trying to be good or somebody gave me a convincing argument. It wasn't that. I just thought, yeah, I'd done everything else. It's like, okay. You know, but it wasn't just okay. I knew in my heart that it was right, but I didn't understand it at all. My head was saying it was crazy and don't do it. And of course, that was the enemy. So after I said yes, Marie, this is what happened. Aiden was a baby and he screamed all the time because he had horrendous colic. Okay. He suddenly goes to sleep, which was a miracle unto itself. All right. And I'm reading these little extracts from scriptures, this little book that she gives me. And as I'm reading, first of all, I get a revelation. He's the Son of God. I was amazed because I'd read that in the Bible. I never understood the Bible. It really was Greek to me. And all of a sudden, I got the revelation of Son of God. But that wasn't what did it. I read what he did on the cross. I read that he actually was separated from himself for me. And I fell in love immediately. because I knew, who does that for anyone? To cut yourself off from yourself for someone else. And that's what Jesus did. That's what he did, and that's what he said. Why he said to the Father, why have you forsaken me? Because he was cut off in that instant, because he became sin itself. And I looked at that and I thought, oh my gosh. I don't need to look anywhere else. I was looking all my life for God, you know, in all the wrong isms, all the wrong religions. And when I found that out about him, I went, there's nowhere else to go. I don't need to look any further. Because he cut himself off from himself for me before I was born. And before I knew him. And before I even wanted to know him. That sold me. I was done. And that didn't mean later on down the road I didn't have troubles and I didn't have weird teachings and all this stuff that came at me and condemnation and the law. And yep, that all happened. But he still got me out of that too. And now I know him even deeper again, because he's brought to truth and reality the living presence, Holy Spirit, into my life as a relationship. And nail prints. You know, he's the nail prints. So I just wanted to share that, because I think sometimes when perhaps, you know, I don't know, each person had their own experience of coming to Christ. And if they've done it in a certain settings, it can be not real to us. And you can have said it, you know, like I know Gwen, you met him 20, 30 years ago, whatever it was. I don't know how long ago, but I know it was quite a while. And you have never had the experience that you have with him now, have you?
No.
Completely different relationship.
It's really awesome right now.
Yeah. It's a completely different relationship. So, Marie, what you're giving up, I can see this is what he's saying. What you're giving up is your old relationship and old belief about him. Okay? That was based on self-reliance. Okay, I've got to believe, and this is what I should think, and this is what the Bible says, and this is what the pastor says, and da-da. Yep. You're giving up that. You're giving up the old-time religion, girl. Like that song. You are. And you're going to be so free. That's that horse. Marie, that's that horse that he showed you, that wild stallion. That's what you're going to jump on that. You're in the process of jumping on that. With him. Okay? That's what this is about. So it's a good thing. It's a really good thing. A really good thing. Okay? It's not, you're not losing something that you even want to hold on to anymore. Because you can't get on that horse with all that baggage. You know, forget it. How are you going to jump on? Because in that vision, you jumped on like a wild woman. You know? I mean, hey, wild woman, you can't have a lot of baggage on you. You can't have a lot of stuff you're carrying. You know, you catapulted onto that horse. Okay? And then ran, and then, you know, he's running wildly, and you're holding on, not for dear life. You're like, let's go! You know, that's how you were doing it, you know? So that's how it's going to be. And that's what's going. All that stuff. The prim and proper, I got to be good, I've got to believe this, all that garbage. You know how they used to, back in the 1800s, they would have worn all those long dresses and everything? It was so hard, or even the early 1900s. You know, and I watched a movie the other night, and there was a missionary out in Africa, you know, with the long dress and the little buttoned shoes and the whole thing. And you're going, oh my gosh, wouldn't you just walk around like a native, you know, and wear one of those sarongs or something, you know, because it was impossible. So you're going to, all that that's you've been carrying around, all that the kind of like clothes, the burdensome clothes of religion, you're going to take off so you can be that wild girl and jump on that horse.
Yeah.
That's what's happening. So it's beautiful. It's a good thing. Do you understand that? Does that make sense to you?
It makes sense. Yes.
Okay, good. Yeah, great. Because I really is, I just look at it, he keeps saying, go ahead, sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say it was that, like, there was something on my shoulders.
Sorry?
You know,
religion.
Yes, yes. Yeah.
I always felt there was something there. Yeah.
Yes. Do you feel it now?
I don't know.
Okay, that's all right. That's
all
right.
Let's just give it enough time.
Okay, that's fine. So we think that self-reliance actually gives us freedom when in fact it boxes us in. Okay, and the self-reliance, even the religious doctrines or teachings that we've had, that we think, you know, oh, now we've got God figured out. And I've seen people who think they can actually figure him out, and I'm thinking, are you insane? You know, you need to be in the loony bin if you think you can figure God out. Okay, yes, we have the mind of Christ, but I'm not the creator of the universe. I think he might have a little edge on me. So when we are self-reliant, we're living in insanity. We're living as an insane person, thinking I can actually do my life. And that's believers and unbelievers. Okay, obviously an unbeliever doesn't know. So we understand that category. We go, oh, well, you think you're doing it all by yourself and you don't realize God's there and you have no appreciation, you're not grateful, da, da, da. With believers do the same thing. That's the saddest part. I have seen people who will refuse to be free because they want to figure him out. And I mean, to me, it's devastating. It grieves me in the spirit. I was crying this morning with my husband saying, when I'm with people that are more interested in analyzing God or figuring him out or being so stubborn that they're going to prove what it is he did or did not do, when he wants to just give them all of himself, my heart breaks. And I don't have a problem with helping the person get there, but some people actually would rather be justifying themselves than letting him be their justifier. And I mean, we're justified by the cross. There is no, that's the ultimate justification. Reconciled man to God. That's it. It's done. So if we want to justify anything else in ourselves, it's just so petty. It's so small in comparison to what he's done. And again, it goes back to that self-reliance. You know, oh, I can do it myself. I've noticed sometimes people will be so set on their sickness. You know, like they'll own their sickness and they'll babysit their sickness and they'll talk about their sickness. And these are believers as well. I'm not even talking about unbelievers. And they'll fight for their sickness. And it's the sickness itself, you know, what they don't realize, you know, they'll defend their sickness or they'll not just telling people, but they might need, you know, they might need some assistance or whatever through the government or whatever. And they'll fight for the assistance. What they're actually doing is keeping that disease alive in them because that disease wants to stay there. And you're actually saying to the disease, oh, yeah, I'm going to fight for you in the highest court of the land, you know. And the disease is having a party, staying in the body of that person. And I'm talking adults, I'm talking people who are aware, you know. And I just find it amazing that sometimes we would rather justify the devil. We become the lawyer for the devil then, the devil's lawyer. You know, they say the devil's advocate. It's like that, you literally being the devil's advocate, fighting for something that isn't from God, fighting to maintain it. Fighting to prove that I really have it, whatever the situation is. I've heard of, you know, that happening. And I've looked at it and I thought, until a person actually disconnects from that and renounces that and says, no, I'm not going to be attached to it. I'm not going to babysit anymore. I renounce my affection for my sickness. Until they do that, that sickness won't go. It doesn't matter how much you command and how much you use your authority or whatever it is that people teach. It won't go. That's why we need to get to the crux of the matter. You know, what's really going on inside of the person that causes them to think that is a better option to justify sickness than the option of being completely healed. Because it's almost like this. This is what I've sensed sometimes with people. They feel like God owes them something. And you know what? I mean, He paid the debt already, and he didn't even owe it. But until we go to that place and look at the cross and say, oh my God, or the stripes like Gwen did this week, oh my gosh, you really did do that for me. Until that is a reality for us, we won't have the freedom. And so we can't blame God. You know, there's this constant blaming God. Why does he do this? Why does he do that? Why doesn't he, you know, and there's never the acknowledgement. He did it. 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 Do we agree? Oh, jury's out on that. I'm not sure. And then blaming him. And that's what happens in the Western world, going back to that model again, the Western world or the developing world as opposed to the developed world. There's still, the jury is out on him. On, is he good? Is he real? Does he matter? Does he really love me? Does he care? There's still that. And the thing about it is not condemning people. If that's the truth where we're at, we go to him to get that rectified. That's how good he is. That's the wonderful part about it. We don't have to just criticize, you know, oh, the developing world and the undeveloped world, and the undeveloped world is so wonderful and the developing world is so messed up. We don't do it like that. We look at the reality and go, wow, oh, now I know what to pray about. That's how it works. You know, it isn't a judgment call of, oh, the Christians in the developing world are so terrible. That's not what we're doing. We're not making a judgment call. What we're doing is we're recognizing the difference, and we want to be in that place of reliance on him. Relying on him, committed unto him, it says. And when I read, you know, there's that root word that is, that root word, the one that says to have faith, the pistuo, I think that's how you say it, pistuo. And then the other one that has they have a link with it. And this one's called pistis. It's a terrible word, but anyway, that's what it says. And that one goes on further, okay? That one goes on because that's the root word. And listen to what that one says about in terms of what believing, believe with your heart, because it comes from that particular scripture. It says, persuasion, for example, credence, moral conviction of truth or the truthfulness of God, especially reliance upon Christ for salvation. It is a conviction of the truth of anything, a belief of a conviction or belief respecting man's relationship to God and divine things, generally with the included idea of trust, get this one, and holy fervor, born of faith and joined with it. Now, we can't make up our own holy fervor, can we? Like, I'm not going to go, oh, I'm so passionate about God just because I feel like it. No, the passion comes from him. The holy fervor comes from him. The faith comes from him. Because we're saved by grace through faith. Now, I don't just conjure up my own faith. How would I know that he's the truth? When I first came to him, I didn't know he was the truth. Even though I said yes. Okay, I'll believe this. I'll renounce all this other stuff. Da da da. Okay, I've confessed it. At that moment, I didn't have a experience of believing passionately, holy fervor in Christ Jesus. This is how gracious he is. It wasn't until I realized he had separated himself from himself for me that fervor began. And he gave me the revelation. So you see how it's all him? It's not us. On our own, we're not independent. Even in faith, even in believing, in fact, specifically in believing or faith. Because if we're going to be independent in that, we're going to lose it. Like what we've been sharing today, people are going to find out, oh my goodness, I'm boxed in with all these beliefs that I'm supposed to believe, but I don't really believe them, but they're attached to me. Ooh, now what do I do? Because that's not real. So is he real? Because what we believed in was false. And then he wants to give us the truth because he is the truth. So all of it is a gift from him. Every single thing, the faith, the grace, the believing with our hearts, the holy fervor, the revelation, it's all from him. We're not self-reliant, and we're not going to get it by ourselves, ever. That's how it works. And it's, you know, it's really trusting him. And again, even with trust, you know, people say, okay, faith, and I know this is true, that faith really is based on trust, trust of who he is, trust in who he said he was, what he did, trust in who he is, and trust in what he said he did. Okay, that's really what faith is based on. But if we don't have that, we don't have to pretend. We can just say, okay, just like the refrigerator and the freezer, guys, it really is that simple. Okay, if you don't have faith for finances or money or provision, you do start there. And the same thing with anything else. Okay, I don't really have that kind of faith, Lord, that you're really reliable and that I can trust you. I don't know how to trust you. Then you ask Holy Spirit to teach you. And that's it. So it's fairly, you know, it's fairly simple, really. We don't have to complicate it.
So contrary, but it's so beautiful and sweet and amazing.
It's so contrary to what, Lizzie? I couldn't hear that last part. Sorry.
It's so contrary to what we've been taught for most of our lives, but it's so beautiful and sweet and amazing. That's how you know it's from God, because he came before we even knew how to believe.
Yes, exactly, exactly. And sometimes even now we don't know how to believe, you know. And that's what I love about him. He doesn't condemn you. He goes, Thomas, here's the nail print in my hands. Touch my side. That's what he says, you know. He doesn't slap us across the head and you know evict us from the room or from the kingdom. He goes, oh, come here, look at the handprint. And then he says, remember, Holy Spirit lives in you. He's the handprint. He's the nail print on my hands. He's the evidence that I did what I said I did. I mean, blows me away. That's the depth of the love of God. Not just that he doesn't condemn, but that he lives in us as the witness of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I mean, we are so loved and so cared for and so not alone. But until we understand, and even if we don't understand, when I didn't know Holy Spirit very well, I asked him. And the way, you know, where he gave himself to, where I got a revelation of his presence in my life as a continual presence, a person, an abiding presence with me, was when I understood what it meant to be crucified with Christ. Dead, buried, and resurrected, made alive. That's where it started. That was my open door. Because the cross is the cross bears witness to Holy Spirit, and Holy Spirit bears witness to the cross. Because without the cross, the Holy Spirit wouldn't live in us. And without Holy Spirit, the cross would mean nothing. So when we first confess with our mouth Jesus Christ and believe in our hearts that God rose him from the dead, that kind of belief that we're committed to it, we rely upon him. We're completely persuaded, not by our thinking or religious teaching or anything else. We know we can trust him. When we do that, that opens the door. Holy Spirit then becomes indwelling, doesn't he? Immediately, as soon as you're born again, the indwelling spirit. That's not the same as when he comes upon we're baptized in his power. But as soon as we believe, Holy Spirit indwells us. Okay, and he's the evidence of the cross that it really happened. And it's, you know, isn't it wonderful? It's just so simple. And he just wants us to know that. And he wants us to know that if we don't get that, we can say, I don't know what the heck she's talking about. You know, we can go to him and say, Holy Spirit, what was that all about? I didn't get that. And he goes, oh, okay, let me show you. And he'll do it in a variety of ways. I mean, I think most of us are now starting to relate to Holy Spirit enough that we know sometimes he laughs at us, sometimes he gives a song, sometimes he superimposes a message on a kid's movie. Sometimes, you know, you're in the middle of making sandwiches and all of a sudden you get revelation. You know, he doesn't go, oh, we have to have our special time. Although it is important to have that special time, there is no question. We do need it. It's like having special time with your husband or a wife or someone that you really love. You do need that every day. It is true. You need to commune. And that's not because you're going to be in trouble or you're not a good Christian if you don't. It's because you're going to miss out on that feeding. He wants to feed you in that time.
Okay? Yeah.
And that's really what that's about. Like yesterday, I missed it because I was busy making a website for somebody that still I'm in process. But anyway, and I got completely obsessed with it and I missed my time. And I didn't even take my walk with the dogs. I didn't, you know, have time with Holy Spirit. And I thought, because I'm done with the journal. So I was, you know, I didn't have one that I had a goal that I had to do. And I thought, oh, I really missed that. So the next one will come soon. I have to work on that. I probably take me a few weeks, but in the meantime, actually, I was going to say this to anyone who's doing the journal or who's done it, that if you're done, you don't have to stop having that time with him. It's still good to just say, okay, what's my dare today? That's what he was telling me. Ask me what your dare is today, Jesse. Just because it's not in the in an e-journal doesn't mean you don't do it. I thought, oh, that's a great idea. I'm going to get another one, an actual journal, and just write in there, what's my dare today, Holy Spirit? And he'll tell you. We can continue it the rest of our lives. The whole idea was just... isn't that great? The whole idea is just to get an introduction, to know who he... Oh, he's really a person. He really lives in me. Oh, this is what he's like. Okay. Oh, wow. And then now we can have a relationship. So I'm going to start doing that today. It's like, okay, this is for the rest of my life. I mean, if I miss a day here and there, it's not like it's you know, it's a legalistic thing. But to have that as part of my relationship with him. Oh, this is... You're going to tell me about today. You're going to share with me. Because he's real, you know. And that's what the cross did. Made us one with God. From the inside. Which is pretty, well, it's beyond amazing. That word gets so overused. You know, it is unbelievable, except it's believable. You know. And we know, we get to know the difference between, you know, his voice and the voice of the enemy and even our own voice. You start to get his nuances. And I know most of you have done that already. And I'll know when he's talking or when I'm talking. I know the distinction. And I know when I used to journal with God, I didn't have Holy Spirit as my primary focus in terms of relationship with God and that I would talk to him. But I used to be like an orphan then. Because I'm hoping Daddy hears. I'm hoping Jesus is listening. What happened to Holy Spirit? Well, I don't know. He's somewhere. I mean, whatever he does that weird stuff. You know, it was like that. I can look back on journals that I did without having a true relationship with Holy Spirit, and they are like an orphan.
Yeah.
It's completely different. And I know when I'm in that orphan place. I know it. Because I talk to him differently, and I'm trying to figure it all out. And I'm like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Oh, Holy Spirit's not even getting a foothold here. He hasn't even got a shoe in the door because I'm going to work it all out. Self-reliance. No more. Lord, we just renounce self-reliance. I want no part of it myself in Jesus' name. I want to...
Oh, yeah.
Okay, we're all agreed to that we don't want any more self-reliance. And because... Self-reliance is the boxes that box us in, whether it's religion or the law or people or what our particular church teaches or doctrine or money or ability, whatever. No more self-reliance, no boxes. But we want wild stallions. That's Holy Spirit. He just goes for gold. He's just, you know, nothing stops him. He is unlimited. In everything. Yeah, like a tiger. That's right. That's right. And he can be a wild tiger and a friendly tiger. He can be the, you know, the cute, you know, chummy, laugh it up with you, but he can also be wild, absolutely wild. Because you can look at what he does in Acts, and I'll tell you, some of the stuff he does in Acts is like, uh-oh, And I've had him chastise me. And it's not, and not that I ever felt condemned, never felt condemned, but I did know that I had missed the mark, and he made me clear about it. And it was like, don't go there. You know, like a very firm parent. It's like, and I am telling, and you know, with a look in your eyes, with the eyebrows raised, looking at you from this, you know, the corner, like, don't do that, that kind of thing. So he's not this one-dimensional cutesy. And he's not, neither is he this fierce power, raw power. You know, that's not him at all. He's a person. But he has, he, just like us, you know, when you look at it, when God said that he made Elohim, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, Elohim, let us make them in our image. Look at what he's like. Look at what Jesus says, if you see me, you see the Father. Look at what he was like. Like, since when did he not get upset with people who were thick? You know, and say, when are you going to actually get who I am? Now, I am not talking about when we need help and when we need to go to Holy Spirit and say, look, I can't believe this. I don't understand. He's totally tender. But when people are denying him or wanting to go their own way, and they're, say they're Christians, but they're going to rely on themselves, and I'm going to do it, and, oh, you know, I know what I'm doing, and I'm going to make it happen, and, you know, and pushing even other people around to believe the same things, he is not a happy camper then. He does not have a good, you know, a good impression of that. He wants our freedom more than we do, because he already paid for it. It's like it's overdue. You know, it's like an overdue bill. It's been paid for. Okay, it's already done. It's due. He's done it. We just have to line up with the fact that he paid for it. And yeah, that's right, Lizzie. He resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. Yes, I love it, Marie. That's perfect. Self-reliance is like relying on a dead person, as we are dead. That's right. We died with him. We're relying on dead people. That is so wonderful. That, see, he's talking to you, girl. That is perfect. Self-reliance is like, I mean, I love it. I'm going to repeat it again. Self-reliance is like relying on a dead person, as we are dead. We're dead. We died. We were crucified, buried, and we rose again. But who rose? Christ in me. The hope of glory. That's who rose. I didn't rise back up. I did not rise back up and go, okay, I'm here to save the world. No, Christ in me rose. That's who lives in me. It's no longer I that live, but Christ that lives in me. And living on, you know, self-reliant. See, that's the fairy tale, Marie. The fairy tale is self-reliance. Do you see? That's make-believe. Because you're relying on the dead person, like you said. That's amazing. Wonderful revelation for all of us to get. It makes me happy. Makes Holy Spirit really happy. You know? So, always want to make Holy Spirit happy. Because you feel better. Because I'll tell you, when you grieve him, it hurts. You know, inside, on the inside. So instead of being led by dead people, let's be led by the living God, Holy Spirit, who lives in us. Wouldn't that be more fun? You know, that's
why it's called dead works.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, it really is dead works, because you're trying to do something that's already been done. So there's that dead works. But I think that's a great connection, Lizzie, is that the self-reliance of, like, you know, I'm going to earn it. But it's a dead person. Who's earning it? You're dead. How do dead people earn things? You know, like, you know, I'm going to work for this.
I'm getting, like, a lot of revelation right now. Wow. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Wow.
So,
that's so amazing.
So since we're, you know, embodied by the living God, we can choose to rely on him, on the living, not on the dead. You know, like they said, remember the angels when the women came to the tomb and said, why are you looking for the dead among, why are you looking for the living amongst the dead? That's what it is. We've been resurrected, but guess what? We didn't get it in our heads.
Oh.
Just like him at the tomb. We're looking for the living amongst the dead. No wonder we were getting miserable, because we're resurrected. We're not even there anymore, guys. We're not even there. We're not at the tomb. We're walking around amongst the people, alive. People getting raised, you know, that's what Jesus did. He raised up and all these graves open. And all these people were alive again in Jerusalem, running around going, "Hi, Auntie Frida," you know. It's like, "Wow, you're looking really good. You were dead for 5 years." You know, all these people just, the power of Holy Spirit. So we do not need to look for the living in ourselves amongst the dead anymore. We're free. We were resurrected.
That's good.
We need to, and if we don't get that, you know, because I mean, it is a huge thing. If we don't get that in how to live it every day, we go, "Holy Spirit, teach me." And I'll say it for all of us. Teach us, Lord. Holy Spirit, teach us in Jesus' name how to no longer look for the living amongst the dead, but to look for the living and to be that living and to get that we were resurrected with Jesus Christ that morning at the tomb. In Jesus' name.
Yeah.
Thank you, Father. And it's going to be a supernatural experience, not something we figure out at all. And see how he's alive now? You can feel it. You know, he's just going, he's like got little fireworks going off in everybody. You know, choo, 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 choo. Everyone's getting their own, you know. And if you're not getting fireworks, it doesn't mean, you know, you aren't with him or whatever. It simply means you might be a quieter person or a quieter form, or it's going to happen later. You know, it happens when it happens. So it's not like we're judging anybody who's not getting it, but I can tell from some of you, it's just sparking off, you know. And if you want to share that, that's fine as well. If anybody wants to share what Holy Spirit's showing them, that's fine. You're more than welcome to do that.
He's kind of showing you like just exactly what we're saying, that you can't rely on a dead person for anything. Justification, redemption, sanctification. I know those sound kind of like, at least to me, they sound like these big religious words that I don't even really know what they mean. But I read in the Bible that Jesus is our redemption and our sanctification and our wisdom. And when I read that, it kind of made it more simple. But then sometimes, I don't know, it's like, it almost feels like I'm looking for something more. And just now, Holy Spirit is showing me I don't have to look. Like you said, you don't have to look for the living among the dead. I don't have to look for it in myself. I don't have to look for it in other people. I don't have to look for it in books. I just look to Holy Spirit because he's alive.
Hallelujah.
And I'm like, oh.
Yeah. Yeah. See, we miss him. We miss the living Holy Spirit who lives in us. We miss the living because we're looking for the dead. We're looking to figure it out ourselves. We're looking at self-reliance, which is the dead person, and we're missing the living. And he's there, but you know, he's absolutely radiant, absolutely filled with, you know, expresses the glory of God. And we miss him. How can we miss him? You know, sometimes you look at it and you go, how can you? I can imagine Holy Spirit going, how did they miss that? How could they possibly miss that? I'm like radiating out blinding brilliant light, and they missed it because what? They're looking down at the ground for the dead scraps. You know, they aren't even going to nourish them, but they think, oh, this is good.
Yeah.
This is good. I can do it. I can do it. And if we can just let him actually teach us, and you know, that's what he does. He gives revelation, and then he teaches. He gives you depth with it as you go. He continues to teach. It's not like he just gives you one little high point and then you're off. Oh, well, I got a little high with God. No, it's not how it works. He then goes to the next level and the next level. It's deeper and deeper. There's an in-depth teaching so that it's actually a part of your being. That revelation becomes a part of your being and you start to live it and embody it so that it's no longer I that live, but Christ that lives in me becomes your life. And that's where he's going with us. That's what
he
wants.
And that's why, like, I know 2 Corinthians 3 says we are, like, epistles. We are, like, living epistles.
That's right.
Like, we as people.
That's right.
And it says, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets, but on human hearts.
That's right.
That's incredible.
That's right.
I feel like that's what it means. Even so, as the Holy Spirit reveals more to you, you are, like, a living epistle.
When self-reliance I have a type personality. I have to figure it out. And I need to know. I have to figure it out. And it has become so exhausting. And as I'm getting more and more acquainted with the Holy Spirit, I just ask Him and let it go. And He'll reveal to me whenever He wants to reveal to me. And I think it's a more calming feeling of it, without having to go, what am I going to do about this? What am I going to do about that? And try to figure everything out my whole life. And now I can just trust the Holy Spirit to show me how to figure things out, or show me what's the answer to the things that are puzzling me, and not rely on self and my limited thinking.
Absolutely. That's it, Gwen. And it's so simple. You know, again, it goes down to that really simple, it isn't a, basically it's pride that gets in the way, because we think we really can figure it out. And I mean, that's the biggest foolishness of mankind. As if we can figure out how God, not only, you know, not even, we're not talking just unbelievers, though unbelievers try to keep, you know, they use evolution, they use scientific things, and they even admit that it doesn't work, but they still hold on to it. But then even as believers, we want to figure Him out. We want to analyze scripture, and we want to link it to this, and okay, how does my experience relate to what the scripture says? And my experience is different. So, and then we start to believe the experience more than the actual, what God actually did and what He says, as if, you know, He says that the wisdom of man is foolishness to God. So, you know, as long as we want to do in figuring out, we're just going to, again, it's dead works. It becomes dead works. So that's exactly what you do, Gwen. You go, I don't get it. That's what I do. I go, I don't get it. Tell me. Lord, I don't get this one. What's this mean? That's really weird. I don't get it. And He tells, you know, I'll be swimming and all of a sudden He shows me. Like you said, He does it when He wants to do it. We cannot, He's not on tap in the sense of we're to be using Him and going, you know, come here, servant. That's not it. That's not how we do it. You know, we, we don't do it like that. And when we do, there isn't, you know, it'd be like talking to somebody, say you had a professor, you know, and you were in a university course. Well, you don't go snapping your fingers at your professor. Come on, give me the answer, buddy. That's not how you do it, is it? You've got respect. And you say, okay, right. Professor so-and-so, I don't understand this concept. Can you explain it to me? And then he's happy to do it because, you know, he loves his subject. We're just saying the ideal professor, you know, he loves his subject. He can't wait to tell you. So we treat him that way, not, oh, well, I didn't get it in 30 seconds, so therefore it's not real, or he doesn't care, or maybe, you know, he's not listening. We don't do any of that. We just ask him, and then we leave it. And he shows us as he shows us in his time. You know, that's where we have to.
And I'm talking about not just in scripture. I'm talking about life.
Absolutely.
Life. Anything that I try to figure this out or that, or what can I do about this? What can I do about that? And then it causes worse and stress because you can't figure it out. You don't even know if you have tomorrow. You know.
Exactly.
It's such a relief to know you can go to the one that knows about tomorrow.
Yeah, that's a good way of saying it, Gwen.
He holds tomorrow in his hands, you know. And so you don't, okay, well, you know what I need to do about this. Well, help me figure that out. You know, show me what to do about this, you know. Not me figuring it out. You figure it out. Show me. You know, put it on him because he wants to teach us. And then I think then you can have that life, that abundant life without the stress and worry of what am I going to do about this? What am I going to do about that? And let him show you what to do about it.
Exactly. Exactly. And it is every day. Every day. What did you want to say, Lizzie?
I can't really remember. I was just agreeing with her.
Okay.
Yeah, it's just like, you know, like school. What do I do about this? Oh, what do I do? But you don't get along with a certain teacher. Or how do I handle this? What can I do? He's really mean to me all the time. Or, you know, and what do I do about this? And you try to figure it out in your own self, and you're not. But Holy Spirit knows how to figure it out.
Yeah.
And lead you and guide you what to do.
Yeah. And the self-reliance leads to misery as well. So it's just so miserable. And it is dead works. It's not trusting, relying on Him at all. It's going, well, I'm really in this on my own, and I better figure it out. That's what you're saying. You know, you're denying. It's going to sound harsh, but it's like denying Jesus Christ came in the flesh.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're looking for the living among the dead. Okay, I got to do it myself. All right, I better talk to the dead man. Okay, the dead man is me figuring it out. Okay, all right, self-reliance. What do I do now? Because I'm really good at being self-reliant. Oh, I'm really strong. Oh yeah, I've got a real strong personality. Yeah, I can do that. You know, and whoa, completely missing the mark, and not looking to him for what all of the answers, because he's the one who has all the answers. The extreme of self-reliance is where you want to analyze your disease, try to figure out how to overcome it, justify it through whatever other means you can, you know, whether, oh, it's in my generational line or whatever, and then basically with hands on your hips towards God, well, why aren't you doing something? That's sometimes how far self-reliance can go. And all you have to do is say, I don't get it. I don't understand why I've got the disease. I know it's not from you. I don't know how to get rid of it, but I let you take over, Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name. Amen. That's it. That's it. That's it. That's all we have to do. And whether it happens in 5-10 seconds like it did for Gwen, or whether it happens a longer period of time, that's all we do. And when we get mixed up and confused and upset again, we go, Holy Spirit, okay, you know I'm not getting this. This is really hard. I don't understand. Teach me how to believe this. Teach me how to bring this forth. Teach me how to allow it. Whatever it is that we need to say. And he'll do that. That'll be your next step. He's the one giving you the lessons before. Do you know he gives you the title of the lesson before you ask him for it?
It's so good.
That's how he works.
Jesse, when there's different areas, you know, in your life that need healed, and the Holy Spirit heals you in one area, like he did so quickly, or my husband and his back pain so quickly, and another area doesn't get healed so quickly, he even keeps us from using methods, because in every area of three experiences we've had, Holy Spirit worked it out different in each time. He's so versatile that we couldn't even go to a method to self, you know, and to be, try to figure it out ourselves, or to go to, okay, well, he did it this way, let's do it again that way. In the area where I said, you know, Holy Spirit, bring healing to me by the blood of Jesus, you know. Mm. Okay, he did. Holy Spirit, I don't want to pray about this one. He said that by his stripes he's healed. And so, you know, I lay hands on him and pray, and that's a different healing. And then the next time you go to another healing, he tells you, well, because you didn't really believe me, it was your unbelief, so, oh, Holy Spirit, help my unbelief. Three different scenarios, three different answers, same Holy Spirit.
Yes.
So, he is going to lead you to the answers that you don't know why you haven't overcome another ailment or something like that's hanging on or resistant.
Yes. Yes.
He's going to reveal how to pray about it in that situation. I have two more areas on what fits, you know, here.
Yes, yes.
And I know Holy Spirit will reveal. Reveal to me what I need to do, or what he needs to do, or what I need to believe, or how to pray. He'll reveal, and then the healing will manifest.
Exactly.
So I think he's very versatile in how he does, because we are so different, he uses different strategies and techniques. I mean, Jesus didn't know them all the same way either.
No, and the thing is
you know, light on the eyes, or be healed, or ride and walk, or, different. And every you know, that's what I'm seeing anyway.
Yes.
And so it's not a no, like, oh, I'm not healed yet, oh no, what am I doing wrong, or oh, he doesn't love me. No, he loves me. He died for me by his blood. I'm healed, and he'll reveal to me how that healing will come.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And that thing about the lessons that he just wants to kind of reemphasize that he gives us the lessons, the title of the lessons that we ask for. So he's already put it in our hearts and minds. We think it's us wanting to learn, and he's actually stuck that in there. Isn't that sweet? That's how sweet he is.
Yeah.
He's like, I know you need this next. So I'll just little whisper over here. And we go, oh, I want to learn about da-da-da. So teach me, Holy Spirit. You know, we think we came up with the idea. We didn't even come up with the idea. That's how God reliant we're meant to be. That's how God reliant we actually are. We just pretend, you know, when we're walking with the, looking for the living among the dead. But that's the truth. The truth is, he places that in our hearts. Go ahead, Marie, go ahead. So he's that detailed. You know, what we need next, he plants in our minds and hearts. And we run around thinking that, oh, I asked Holy Spirit today to teach me about the Trinity. Aren't I amazing? You know, and he's the one who stuck it in there. Because he knows what we need next. He knows what we need. I remember when I asked him about that, I actually was talking to him on a walk, and I was saying, oh, okay, I don't get the three in one, but I love you all, and sometimes I need Daddy, and sometimes I need Holy Spirit, and sometimes it's Jesus, because I need to think of the cross, but okay. And I was walking home with a little dog, you know, and I didn't think any more about it. The next day or two, whenever it was, I said, Holy Spirit, I want you to teach me about the Trinity, because I don't get it. And I'm thinking, I thought of that. You know, I mean, I didn't think of that because I was telling him what was confusing to me. And he said, okay, well, you better ask about it. You know, so there you go. And I thought I was such a hero for asking.
I remember just watching you go through all that, Jesse. Like, yeah. I remember, you know, I'm sure like everybody who's known you has like talked to you and then seen you, you know, grow. Like the Holy Spirit's done so much in you and like taught you so much, and like the teaching just flows out because it's like all him in you, and it's like really amazing to see. And I remember like when you first said, you know, it's like the Holy Spirit who does it, you know, I don't heal people, and we can't act like we're these men going around doing these great exploits for God and stuff like that. It's like when you first started to get that revelation, and then you were like, I'm gonna start, you know, asking the Holy Spirit, and now it's just like, bam. And then you're like, I feel like I'm the poster girl for the Holy Ghost. and then I remember you said, God told me that I'm going to preach about the fullness of God. And you were just like so humbled. And now like I totally see that like coming to pass. And so it's cool because God put those in you before it even really came to fruition.
That's right. That's right. Yeah.
But it was like a seed in your heart.
Yeah. Well, he's the ultimate planner, you know? Yeah. I mean, look at him. Look at what he designed. You know, little ants that do this kind of work, and that helps the ground. And then he's got the spider web things happening that get rid of the nasties. And then he's got, you know, then he's got how the trees grow and the chlorophyll and photosynthesis. You know, I mean, come on. Ultimate planner. You know, and oh, our poison, they take our poison and then they bring out oxygen so we can breathe. I mean, like, how? Wow, that's pretty cool. You know, it's amazing. He plans it all out beforehand, so we really don't have to worry. It's like Gwen, her middle name now is, what is it, Gwen Hakuna Matata Polzin, you know? Because it's like, no worries. And that thing that you said, Gwen, is so amazing, that it's wonderful. One that you said, and I wrote it down. Go to the one who knows about tomorrow. That's who we go to. Because that's what that is. If you go to the one who knows about tomorrow, you're not looking for the living amongst the dead anymore. Because you're not relying on yourself. And like we went back to self-reliance from what Marie said, is dead people. It's the dead body. So this way, if we go to the one who knows about tomorrow, we're going to the living God, and we'll find the living, not the dead, instead of doing it ourselves or attempting to do it ourselves.
Ooh.
Isn't that good? It's just so good. And then and we should be, and I get this too, you know, we all go through our times when, you know, you're having a bit of a kerfuffle in the home front or something about money or an illness or whatever. And we let that all take over, you know, because we're relying on ourselves. See, then that's when we're not trusting him and saying, wait a minute, I have this problem. I have this sickness, or I have this financial problem, or I'm having a marital problem, or whatever we're having. Okay. Or with children or whatever, or with work. And we go into, how am I going to work it out? How am I going to work it out? How am I going to work it out? Instead of having the joy of going, oh, I'm going to the one who knows about tomorrow. Okay, Holy Ghost, well, you know about what's going to happen tomorrow, so you tell me. And then we don't lose our joy. We won't lose it. We lose it because we look at the stuff. We look at the stuff. And it's not even, you know, it's not the old-fashioned, oh, look to Jesus when you're walking on the water so you don't sink. No! He's... I've got a solid floor underneath my feet. How am I sinking? I'm not even sinking, but I'm lying to myself, living in the make-believe fairy tale that I might sink. How can I sink when he lives in me? What, is he going to drown? You know, I don't think Holy Ghost wants to go under the water. So he's not going to. We're not going to drown. You know, and we don't look at our stuff and make that king in our lives. The dead. See, do you know what he's telling me right now? Our circumstances, our sicknesses, our problems, our relationships that are difficult, they are the dead.
Wow.
That's why they don't work. Because we're trying to resurrect the dead. And that stuff's dead for us. We live in the living God. We Christ in us. Christ lives, no longer I that live. That's the truth. And when we're looking at all that stuff and focusing on this stuff, we're focusing on dead works. Okay, I've got to work it out. Oh, how am I ever going to get along with my husband? Oh, what about these bills? Oh, man, this sickness. I can't stand it anymore. We do that. And we're doing dead works, playing with dead works and wondering why we're miserable. When we actually have the one who knows about tomorrow to handle it. And we look way in the future. We go 5 years down the line, don't we? And we go, well, but what's going to happen in 5 years? What? He said, don't even worry about tomorrow. He said, only deal with today. 5 years? What's 5 years? You don't even know 5 years is coming. Right. There might not be a 5 years. Do we really have to consider it?
Holy Spirit.
Pardon?
Holy Spirit's totally that.
Yeah.
Holy Spirit's totally teaching me that.
Yeah. It's not looking to the future in that way. I mean, even the tomorrow, that's why you go to the God. That's why he said it that way, Gwen. Go to the one who knows about tomorrow. Because, see, all we're supposed to deal with is today.
Wow.
How good is that?
Good.
Isn't that good? I love him. He's so wonderful.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know if any of you have seen that movie, Despicable Me, but there's a scene in this movie, and this little girl loves these fluffy unicorns, and they want to win it at a carnival. Anyway, it's so funny. We've watched it 200 times or something. No, not 200, probably about 20 times. Anyway, and there's this one line, and I love it, and she's so excited about this unicorn because it's this huge, fluffy unicorn. And she goes, "It's so fluffy!" That's how I feel about Holy Ghost. You know? It's like you can't, it's like holy fervor.
I love that. Holy fervor. I love that.
I know. I'm just going to write down what we just said. Because he's so good. He's so good and living. And then we're now looking at him being the living and not looking for the dead amongst the living. And not looking for the living amongst the dead. Neither way. We don't want to do either one. In Matthew 6:34. So don't worry about tomorrow. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Tomorrow will have its own worries. And he's saying, go to the one who knows about tomorrow. So who gets to worry? Who gets to deal with the worries? You and me? Holy Spirit. How good is that? That's his middle name. Holy Spirit, Hakuna Matata Spirit. You know? That's who he is. You know, that's who he is. The no worries.
It's kind of like that verse that says in Psalm 23, I think, that surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life.
Mm.
I love that so much. It's like, no matter where I go, goodness and mercy are going to follow me, and I'll be in the house of God forever. And now we're a house of God. Our bodies are temples of the Holy Ghost.
That's right.
But that's one of my favorites.
Well, you know what?
Goodness.
You know.
Wow.
No, it's not even just that a goodness and mercy will follow us. Goodness and mercy lives in us now.
Mm-hmm.
That's how it is.
I think.
So how
for
can
some
we?
Reason, like, I've been stuck in the Psalms lately.
Okay.
But maybe Holy Spirit can teach me to have a fuller revelation of the Psalms. Because I know David was in a different covenant, right? So
I think it's really important that we get that. Because when you get that, that goodness and mercy don't follow me anymore. Goodness and mercy live in me, in the person of Holy Spirit.
Amen.
That's a phenomenon. So when we want to chase, you know, we're trying to chase it or get God to be good to us or get him to be merciful when we, you know, make a mistake and think, you know, we're in trouble. He's going, why are you chasing me? I'm in you. Goodness and mercy live in you. You don't have to get it. You have it. That's the reality.
It seems to me like not strive at all.
If we actually realize that every characteristic of God, steadfast love, faithfulness, goodness, mercy, justice, righteousness, we get that they, all of those character traits actually live in us as Holy Spirit. That's pretty amazing. We don't have to chase it at all, any of it.